This is All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty. Thanks for joining me for a special edition of the show. Today I'm sharing a talk I just gave on Saturday, April the 2nd, 2016, in Montreat, North Carolina, as part of the Inkling Fellowship Weekend. My talk focused on an often unrecognized theme throughout the Screwtape Letters that I highlight in one of the appendices in my just-released book that is a study guide companion to it. That book is entitled C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. In what follows, I try to edit as best I could any elements that were more meaningful to a live audience, as well as any mumbling I can sometimes do when I talk. Also, as you might expect, before getting into my main theme of shining light on Screwtape's darkest secret, I did spend a few minutes noting the unique aspects of my book. Harry Lee Poe, also simply known as Hal Poe, introduced me. And then one final thing to note, as I do make a couple of passing references to this, and that is Dr. Don King spoke the same morning before me, and he made several references to the Screwtape Letters.
We're now going to take a look at Screwtape in earnest. William has published his first book. So this is a celebration today, and it's a great accomplishment. It's a just as lovers of books, this is a beautiful book without ever opening it. Congratulations on that, because sometimes the covers don't turn out as well. This is a dazzling book, and it's one that is useful at several levels. This is something that I think can be a great help for churches that may want to do a book study of Screwtape Letters and use it as an outreach to the community. That is, here's a, in terms of going, of bypassing the stained glass windows, Americans are interested in religious ideas. They're very interested in talking about it. And so you might think of exploring Screwtape Letters as an outreach book study for your church. So, William, thank you for not just writing something you're interested in, but in serving the church. William, for I don't know how many years, the Essential C.S. Lewis website has been going on. It's been around so long now that I take it for granted. But it's one of those go-to sources on the internet, and if you don't have it, have it saved. It's www.essentialcslewis.com. And from there, you can find his podcast, All About Jack. That's a resource. You can go back and listen to those. They're archived, so you can go back and listen to those interviews. We thank you for your work, because he's been promoting the work of other people. You've had Don on a number of times, because Don keeps writing books, but William is going to come and tell us this time all about Screwtape.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. The event last year was actually my first opportunity to come, although I had only actually heard about it a few years before that. It was actually here with great timidity. I shared the title of my book because it could have been controversial, C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. But this was the first public announcement of that title, in case you didn't know that. How many of you have read the Screwtape Letters? Can I get a show of hands? Is there any poor soul who has not read the Screwtape Letters? Anyway, think about how long ago you read the Screwtape Letters. When did you first read it? I first read the Screwtape Letters back around 1981, 82. I forget whether it was my junior or senior year or what part of the year. I was not a very good reader then. I don't claim to be now. I really appreciate audiobooks a whole lot. But I had just been exposed to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, either as a junior or a senior, having the opportunity to... It was on a list of books. And, well... In the Screwtape Letters, he notes in the second preface that the Screwtape Letters is a type of book that, you know, gravitates towards back rooms. Or there was one lady that it was on a list of books, and she picked it because it was the shortest. Well, I probably picked The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe because it was perceived to be the easiest on the list. Well, that led me then to ask a friend, anything, has Lewis written anything else, you know, besides the obvious, the rest of the Narnia? And so he shared with me about the Screwtape Letters. And then he said, you know, it's 31 short letters. I thought, oh, okay, short letters. My attention span, I could grapple with that. Well, I fell in love with the book. And since then, I have bought many, many copies. This is not the original one I bought, but it is the same edition that I bought. It's the Lord and King edition. I will spend a little bit of time about my book, you know, the first-time author. They kinda, yeah. But I do want to note some of the unique things about my book. One of the things I did when reflecting on, like, there are quite a few study guides already out there for the Screwtape Letters. So I thought, in terms of referencing things, I want to be able to, you know, not just say, okay, in the 13th letter, you know, you'll find this. I want you to, and if you've looked at the book, you already are aware of this, to take your copy of the Screwtape Letters and number the paragraphs, because I reference them by paragraph to help you more specifically locate certain things within the book. So that's one of the unique aspects. In addition to giving you questions, and I'll note about how that's unique in terms of not done before with other study guides, I do give suggested answers. Now, I've seen at least one that did that, but mine's one of the few, or only the second one. I include that toast essay that I just was showing you here for the Saturday Evening Post. That essay is actually five times the length of your average letter. And then I have a short and long summary for each letter. If you're doing a study, whether it by group, and I do have in the beginning of the book, if you're deciding to do it in a group setting and you're limited it to 13 weeks, I have a suggested order to group the letters. That'll be the best to go by. Now, maybe you have to go shorter. I was talking with someone, and they said, well, I only have 6 weeks. Well, you can double up then, I guess. But, you know, it's long and hard to kind of do one letter a week, although you can not exhaust the letters by the amount of information Lewis packs in to do a lengthier study, probably more so on your own. When doing a study, whether in group or on your own, I give a short summary of what the themes, major themes are in the letters. And then in the third section of the book, I give a longer a list of the concepts that I felt that somebody, you know, just using it for the first time, they probably didn't want to overexpose themselves or cheat. But it was a nice summary for after the fact to remind you down the road, but initially to enable you to dig it out yourself more so. The study guide, it's very flexible. You can do either a short or individual or long or group. I have five questions in each to where you can do the five, you know, for the short and then the five more questions. But within each of the five, the first three are the major questions. Now, if you're leading a group, you can pick any questions you want. But if you're short on time, you don't get a chance to preview it maybe, you can just pick the first three if you're doing the group, and then the second group of three, and then the end two for each of the sets can be optional and are typically more reflective in nature. The major thing that makes the book stand apart is something, I don't know if we created a combination word here, a topical glossary. How many of you have seen Paul Ford's Companion to Narnia? It's a nice, massive, you know, there's seven books for Narnia. It's a great resource to, you know, remind yourself about the different themes and such, characters and whatnot. And so I thought, well, Screwtape is obviously a very short book, but there are themes that run through the letters, not each letter, but like he talks about something over here and then it's back over there. So I bring that together in short little entries that are not really encyclopedic, but I guess they're encyclopedic in nature. So that makes it unique. And then you can, independently of any formal study, use the book. But of course, you do need to benefit. The greatest from a book is to have the Screwtape Letters. But you could casually look at the topical glossary and go, oh, okay. And then you go read a letter. Or you're reading a letter and you go, oh, I wonder where else he might talk about that. Finally, there are also several appendices in the book. I give a list of different 60 facts or trivia about it, And then I share an adaptation transcript of a talk I gave to a group that wasn't expected to have known anything about the Screwtape Letters. But it also serves, for someone who has read it, a reminder about some of the great themes in it. So that's one of the many appendices. What I shared last year, how I was talking about having, poetry reading or some type of reading, I shared something that's in the book last year, the Screwtape Speaks at Demon Chapel that I did as an original piece last year. All right, now for the actual content of my talk. What is the secret that Screwtape is revealing in these letters? Well, we find that Screwtape, in the fourth letter, he says something, and I am springboarding off of the fourth appendix in my book where I note that this theme that I'm getting ready to reveal more fully is discussed throughout most of the letters, and so I give a listing of it in the appendix. Now, what I'm going to present today is not in the book other than the list in the appendix of the fourth appendix. Okay, without further ado, what is the secret? Screwtape actually boasts quite plainly that their best work is done by keeping things out of a person's mind. If you had a chance to look at the cover of Time magazine, which Lewis was on the cover of Time magazine, I don't know if you noticed this or if you were, maybe you were aware of it beforehand. He was on the cover of Time magazine before Narnia was ever released. He's most known now for Narnia, but in 1947... because of his fame from the Screwtape Letters, a new book was coming out, Miracles, but he's on the cover, and you have a devil on his left shoulder and an angel's wing over his head, but sort of the right shoulder. But this kind of gives a stereotypical concept about the devil's whispering in your ear, or the angel's trying to get you, and they're fighting back and forth. But Screwtape says, no, we're not whispering in ears. We're trying to keep things out of people's mind. That's our best work. And in this letter in particular, he's talking about, in the fourth letter, second paragraph, the theme is on prayer, and he's noting that humans constantly forget, which is what they're wanting to promote, keep it out of their mind, that bodily position in prayer does make a difference. So Screwtape wants to keep this out of your mind. So, don't think about it, okay? Stop thinking. I said stop thinking about that, okay? It's hard to not think about something, right, when you're told not to. All right, but now, as I've already noted, this is not the first time Screwtape has noted this idea about keeping things out of people's mind. He actually, in 24 of the 31 letters, he mentions this idea, or at least makes some inference to it. So the purpose of my talk is to focus in on some of those. I'm going to start at the beginning, and I know I'm not going to get all the way through. I didn't prepare for all of the letters. But we'll get through as many in my notes as possible. But in the first letter, what do we find here? I mentioned about giving you a short summary about the theme. In the first letter, the theme is jargon and real life. These are the key themes. Here at the end of the second paragraph, he states, teach him to call it real life, and don't let him ask what he means by real. So that's what Screwtape says. Don't think about what real means. Just, it's whatever's happening to go through your mind that's catching your interest. That's what's real. He doesn't want you to think about spiritual realities and things that will get you to reflect more about your spiritual condition. There are several other themes that are mentioned around this letter as well, and I note in the book, I have anything that's in the topical glossary will be in capitals. So when you're reading along and a word is mentioned, it's easy just to kind of skim by it or whatever. It's like, there's more about that, so you can dig deeper. So change and distraction is something that is going to be in there. Now, in terms of application to our lives, this is that we want to be aware of. The devil wants us to think that what we see is all there is, which, as Christians, we know is not true. If we consider what's real, then we need to see that there is an unseen world, which is, of course, the spiritual realm. In our second letter, the key themes are appearance versus reality. The concept is noted four times. It's twice in the second paragraph, in back-to-back sentences, this is the first one, never let it come to the surface. Never let him ask what he expected them to look like. I'll tell you who the them is in a second. And then he says, keep everything hazy in his mind now, and you will have all eternity wherein to amuse yourself with him. Well, the them in this context is the patient's concept of what a Christian looks like. Patient has just become one, if you're familiar with the letters. Screwtape is instructing Wormwood on how to use the members of the guy's local church to disappoint or confuse the patient. You know, what? That person calls themselves a Christian? I can't believe that. Then twice in the fourth paragraph, we also see this about keeping things out. He goes on to say, all you have to do is keep out of his mind the question, if I, being what I am, can consider that I am in some sense a Christian, why should the different vices, capitalized because there's a whole entry in the book, of those people in the next pew prove their religion to be mere hypocrisy and convention? This is one of the most common objections, of course, that non-Christians give, and Christians also complain about it as well for not going to church. They're just hypocrites there. Then the next sentence, Screwtape reveals how powerful the devils can be. You may ask whether it's possible to keep such an obvious thought from occurring even to a human mind. Then Wormwood must handle his patient properly for it to not come into his patient's head. Again, we're finding where is Screwtape pointing out keeping things out of a person's mind as their best method or their secret weapon. Humility is also a reference, or is referenced in this letter, but it's more so talked about in the 14th letter. But what will be the application in our own lives about this? The devils are trying here to get us to not look in the mirror. As Christians, when we think about it, reflect on it, we know that we are forgiven. So those around us are in need of God's forgiveness, and sometimes they need ours as well, which of course we can only give as we allow Christ to live through us. This, again, has to do a lot with humility, which is dealt with again later on, more specifically in the 14th letter. Then we find it again in the third letter. This is where the main themes are mutual annoyances to prevent spiritual growth. There are two occurrences of keeping out and one of the opposite. Of course, the opposite of keeping out is the putting in. And if you read the letters closely too, you can see sometimes the keeping out is a matter of substituting by putting in. In the second paragraph, he begins, keep his mind on the inner life. What is Lewis trying to suggest here? Here, he's talking about, by you know, focusing on the inner life, wanting to have them have extreme introspection. Now, some self-examination is, of course, healthy, but it is possible to have too much. When Lewis was younger, he was very good at this too much. He stopped keeping a diary, in fact, because for him, it led to unhealthy introspection. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with keeping a journal or a diary, but for Lewis, he found he was just complaining, whining. Any of you know what character I might be thinking about in Narnia, in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader? There once was a boy named Eustace Clarence Grubb, and he almost deserved it. So Eustace is an example from The Voyage of the Dawn Treader of this type of person that is just focused so much on the inner life. What is going on that's affecting him? And why are people so unfair to him? Well, what about the keeping out? The keeping out aspect is found in the middle of the second paragraph. It says, keep his mind off of the most elementary duties by directing it to the most advanced and spiritual ones. Here, you probably can catch what's being said here, and that is, the elementary ones are things that we can practically do, but sometimes we get caught up in wanting to try to do something more that seems much more spiritual, when something that's more within our reach would be what we should focus on. But again, keep his mind off of those elementary duties, praying for someone, doing something practical instead of, oh, I need to just solve their problem. I can't do it, so I won't do anything. Next, in the fourth paragraph, Wormwood is speaking about the relationship between the patient and his mother. Wormwood needs to have his patient keep focused on things that he doesn't like about his mother. Never let him suspect that he has tones and looks that also irritate his mother. So that's something that is in that fourth paragraph here before we get to the fourth letter. But what is the practical application? Here in, just like the last letter, we're going from a group of people, like, oh, how can those people in the church, how can they call themselves a Christian, to someone in the patient's life, something closer to home here. So we are challenged to consider what is hindering our own spiritual growth. You know, are we into too much introspection? There is a certain amount that is healthy, but don't go into too much. If you find yourself kind of grumbling and complaining a lot, whether it be to yourself or to others, then you're probably focused a little bit too much on yourself, and I can fall into that tendency quite easily myself. Now we get to the fourth letter, which is the cornerstone here. Here in the second paragraph, Screwtape's noting, it's funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. I started out speaking about this with that, but now we're catching up into the fourth one more specifically as we go through the letters. And so it's forgetting that the bodily position does matter is the key thing that is being spoken of in context to what he's sharing. Then in the fourth paragraph, as the issue of prayer is discussed more, Screwtape notes that the patient should have a confused picture of the one he is praying to, which of course is God. This addresses the fact that we all have an incomplete understanding of God, no matter how well. There are some stereotypical ones that we tend to have. That is, we tend to think of God maybe on extremes, stereotypical extremes. Either a harsh punisher who must be obeyed in order to stay out of hell, or he's the great Santa or genie in the sky that's going to grant every wish that we have. Well, in this paragraph, he is told, Wormwood being the he, keep his patient praying to his misconception of God, to the thing he has made, the patient has made, his preconceived notion of God, not to the person who has made him. Okay, so that challenges us to get to know who God really is by studying his word and learning what others have said that you can trust. But so in terms of an application, what could be applied in our own lives, or what challenge would I have? Which is as follows. Are you making prayer a painful subject to the devils? Do you have a good prayer life to where you have a clearer picture of God, and so the devils are in disarray because of that? Then, of course, along with that, as I was saying, we want to have a clearer picture of God. We need to know that he's not just a killjoy. Many people think, oh, okay. You know, they go from that extreme about he's a harsh punisher, so he must be someone that wants to just ruin any kind of fun. So we need to be aware of what misconceptions or what extremes that we might have. There's nothing in the fifth letter about this topic. In the sixth letter, the themes are maximum uncertainty and concentric circles, which I won't be talking about, but the maximum uncertainty is something that I will note here. And there are three examples of this keeping out. In the second paragraph, we have what I have on the overhead here. It is your business to see, this is Screwtape, of course I'm sharing quotes from him, that the patient never thinks of the present fear, so the never is the idea of keeping out, never thinks of the present fear as his appointed cross, but only of the things he is afraid of. Could spend a few minutes to kind of think about that. I know I'm going at a fairly quick pace, but these are things to really think about. I know that they was created a reason for pause for me. Earlier in the paragraph, Screwtape informs Wormwood that he should be aware that his patient has heard that he must submit with patience to God's will. So he wants to keep this out of his mind. Then twice in the third paragraph, in the final two sentences, this is where other examples are found. It says, let an insult or a woman's body so fix his attention outward that he does not, that's keeping things out of his mind, reflect, I am now entering this into the state called anger or the state called lust. Contrarywise, let the reflection, my feelings are now growing more devout or more charitable, so fix his attention inward that he has, that he no longer looks beyond himself to see our enemy, which of course is God, or his own neighbors. So the application, especially in these final two, is what we are unaware of outwardly we should be, and what we tend to focus on inwardly too much we should not. But also in terms of the uncertainties in life. Do you, I know I have a tendency to, no raised hands necessary here. Do you focus on what scares you? We should consider God may want us to use or may want to use a difficult situation to help you to learn something. Also, I think that this is challenging us to consider what is happening inside of us, as I was just noting, that we need to not just react to something that can be being impulsive, but reflect as early as possible as to what's happening before you act. Then, seventh letter has to do with what beliefs should we have people think in terms of the devils? Should we believe in their existence? Here is where Screwtape addresses this in the seventh letter. The devil in red tights is what I refer to it in my book. We have two examples of the keeping out. Both are in the opening paragraph. Each are related to the main theme of the letter. And this is our policy for the moment is to conceal ourselves. Concealing is the keeping out of the mind, the true idea. Then I do not think you will have difficulty in keeping the patient in the dark. If you're keeping him in the dark, you're getting him not to think about. But this paragraph also states, it's very short, devils are predominantly comic figures in people's minds. And he suggests a picture of something in red tights to confuse. This is so common that that's what we think of today. Let's think about how this, in the seventh letter, can apply in our lives. What is your concept of our enemy, which of course is the devil, Satan, and his associates? You can only fight your enemies if you know what they are like. That's one of the great things that I enjoy about the Screwtape letters. When I've talked about the Screwtape letters, I've noted that it's like reading, you know, someone else's mail and finding out what their plans are. And in Scripture, there's a verse, Ephesians 6:12, I'm sure many of you are familiar with. If you ask me to sign your book, that's what I actually put in there. Know your enemy's plans. Ephesians 6:12 in the NIV says as follow, for our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. There's another translation that I enjoy. There's a translation, you may not have heard of this one before, it's called God's Word. It's a translation. It reads that verse as follows. This is not a wrestling match against a human opponent. We are wrestling with rulers, authorities, the powers who govern this world of darkness, and spiritual forces that control evil in the heavenly realm. Then in the eighth letter I mentioned, then here in the ninth letter, the theme here in the ninth letter is exploring the troughs and going through phases. There are two instances of keeping out. One's in the third paragraph. Screwtape is instructing on how to capitalize on the troughs. Both in the eighth and the ninth letter deal with this subject, and he brings up what's called the law of undulation, which is the quote I'll read here in a second. To understand it more, I elaborated in the book. But the synonym for a trough, if you're not already familiar, of course, would be slump or downturn. The first step, quoting now, is to keep knowledge out of his mind. Do not let him suspect the law of undulation. And this relates to a natural up and down in lives. We can't always have a mountaintop experience or live on the mountaintop. Hopefully, we're not always in the valley. The fifth paragraph, we find the following: keep his mind off the plain antithesis between true and false. People don't tend to think of things as true or false. So, oh, that's nice for you, or that's truth for you, not really realizing truth. You can't use truth necessarily in that way. Here in the letter, Screwtape is advising Wormwood about whether or not he can try a direct attack on his patient's faith. He wants the patient to view his faith as a phase he was going through. It's temporary, like all phases. Jargon is a word that's actually mentioned in the first letter, and it's used again. You know, have them think the words with vague meanings. Here in the fifth paragraph, Wormwood is to keep his patient away from thinking that things are black and white. Get him to gradually drift from Christianity without considering truth claims. Have a vague notion of moving past Christianity without ever really considering or proving that it's false, not even considering the truth claims. So what would be the application in our own lives? First thing is to think about, in terms of that natural up and down, is how do you deal with discouragement? We know life is full of up and downs, but do we act or live like it? It's not possible, as noted, to be happy all the times. It's, in fact, okay to be sad. You're familiar, I'm sure, in Ecclesiastes, verses 1 and 4, so from the first chapter, I forgot to write down the chapter, there is a time for everything and a season for everything, a time to weep and a time to laugh. Then in the fifth paragraph, is what, while we note that everything is not black or white, or either true or false, there are many things that are. When you have the truth, you don't want to waver from it. How do you not waver from the truth? Very simple. We know if we are challenged by it, the challenge to think or reflect on it, we need to study our Bible to keep hold of our faith, and of course to be in fellowship with other believers. If you don't, then the devils are going to get you to try to make your faith a passing phase in your life. Just a few more letters going to cover, the 10th one being one of them. Here we have the theme of new acquaintances, vanity, and Puritanism. The demon Twiptrees, that's a tongue twister, is introduced here. The patient has met some new friends who Twiptrees is in charge of, and they can have a very negative effect on his faith. We have two examples of keeping out. In the second paragraph, we find, no doubt, he must very soon realize that his own faith is in direct opposition to his new friend's beliefs. And then he goes on to say, I don't think that matters much, provided you can persuade him to postpone any open acknowledgement of the fact. And then Wormwood is told that it is very easy with the aid of shame, pride, modesty, and vanity. I forgot to capitalize those words. I think just about all of them are in the glossary that I have. The third paragraph, then, he notes, delay as long as possible the moment at which he realizes this new pleasure as a temptation. The pleasure here is either enjoying the company of his friends or the feeling he gets from pretending to be like them in their cynical attitudes. In other words, when he's in their presence, he doesn't realize it, but then later he realizes it and thinks he should do something about it, but then he does nothing. What is the application in our own lives? How much do you let others influence you in the negative sense of the word? You might just have to maybe avoid some people in order to grow in your faith. We need to realize that we all have doubts and struggles. Don't give in to them by being influenced by others that might pull you down. And then find others, of course, that can help build you up and help each other, encourage one another. So I really like this next one here, letter 11. It's one of my favorites. This is where he deals with the four causes of laughter. I'm not going to go into all four because the aspect we're looking at of keeping out, it's only related to one in particular, or at least that's the way Screwtape presents it. I'm sure there could be ways that you could see how it could be kept out. But the joke proper is what's discussed in terms of keeping out. A joke proper is one sense of humor, essentially. Many assume that it, in order to for the devils to have the best use of it, is only through the use of indecent or bawdy humor. Screwtape notes that there are two types of people, which I'm not going to be talking about. You're going to need to read the Screwtape letters originally, and then you can look to see what I help you to reflect on to get even more out of it. But he says the following in relation to this. That is, find out which group the patient belongs to, and then see that he does not find out. That's keeping out. Okay? So whatever group the patient is in, Wormwood must endure to make him unaware. For if he knew that, then, you know, he would be better prepared to resist. Of course, if he did, then he would know what his weaknesses were to avoid it. In the fifth paragraph, we're still on the joke proper or humor. He's noting here, and that humor can be used, and boy, do we see this today, to eliminate shame for things that relate to, or for doing cruel things being done in the name of a practical joke. But anyway, Wormwood is told that he can get his patient to give in to this type of humor, quote, because quote, this temptation can be almost entirely hidden from your patient by that English seriousness about humor. Any suggestion that he might be too, that there might be too much of it can be represented to him as puritanical or as betraying a lack of humor. So this temptation is the temptation to hide behind humor as a way to do cruel things that would normally be viewed as shameful. What is the application in our own lives, or maybe to help others to see? And that is to be aware of the fact that enemy can use us or people around us to convince us that cruel things are funny. When they're not funny, it's noted here that they're shameful. But today it's treated as funny, so that's it's a sad thing. And to not buy into that type of humor. All right, then finally I want to note about the 12th letter. The theme here is the road to hell via small sins, is the way I put it in the book. Or we could say it another way, the road away from heaven is through, you know, small sins. There are four examples of keeping out. And I knew my time was going to get away, so I didn't make notes for the 13th letter. But here in the 12th letter, I'm leaving you with the patient in a backslidden condition. Like, oh, what's going to happen? Well, you've probably read the book, you know what happens, but but we're going to leave on a more of a serious note here about it. But here there are four examples about keeping out. Three are in the first two paragraphs that are related. And here's the first one. My only fear is lest in attempting to hurry the patient, you awake him to the sense of his real position. So what we would consider the patient is somewhat, he's not growing spiritually, and he's not aware of his current state. So Screwtape wants to not make, you know, help keep him in that state of unawareness about what his state is. He must not be allowed to suspect that he is now, however slowly, heading right away from the sin, or from the sun, on a line which will carry him into the cold and dark of uttermost space. Let's see, and then the final two quotes here is this. I know there are dangers in this, but anything is better than he should realize the break he has made with the first month of his Christian life. And then this is not directly related to keeping out, but it shows the ramifications here, and it's a very good thing to essentially end on, and that is if this continues to happen, then we do not have to contend with the explicit repentance of a definite, fully recognized sin, but only his vague, though uneasy, feeling that he hasn't been doing very well lately. So that's what the enemy would want to have us in the state of, is that is, when we're drifting, if we drift away, we're not growing, but we're drifting, we're in reverse growth. We're declining in our beliefs and such, to not become aware of it. It's like, oh, I'm just not quite feeling so much in touch with my faith. Satan would have you to not be fully aware of that, because if you do, then you're going to kind of have the potential of waking up, which, spoiler alert, happens in the next letter. So that's actually the application here, is to challenge us that when we are maybe going through a period in our lives that it's like, I just kind of feel uneasy. Well, maybe we've been drifting a little bit, and we need to become more aware of that. But again, Satan would not want us to be aware of that, as Screwtape is noting, and that is just one of the many ways that he is trying to keep things out. And I hope you've enjoyed a little whirlwind tour over some of the letters that have this theme about Satan trying to keep things out of your mind as opposed to putting them in. And that's the type of stuff that you can benefit from my book. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
I hope you enjoyed listening to my talk about Screwtape's secret weapon, how the devil's attempt to keep things out of our minds. As noted in what I just shared, my book merely highlights the places in the Screwtape letters where this method is mentioned or alluded to. I don't go into details as presented in this original talk in my book. The book itself focuses on helping an individual or group dig out for themselves the many fine points Lewis weaved into his humorous work. If you are part of a group that meets regularly or occasionally to discuss Lewis, feel free to contact me to give this single talk or to go into all the places in the letters. This topic is revealed as part of a 3 or 4 part presentation. Contact me at info@essentialcslewis.com. Again, that's info@essentialcslewis.com for details on how to make those arrangements. I hope you liked today's show enough to want to share it with others. Also, feel free to leave comments about the program online and consider listening to other shows. At the time this podcast is posted, my most recently released shows has been a repeat of an interview with Paul McCusker about a radio drama called C.S. Lewis at War, and I also recently did a show about the 2016 colloquium at Taylor University in June. You can also check out allaboutjack.podbean.com or my iTunes feed to learn about older podcasts that I post each day between my weekly featured release. This episode of All About Jack is sponsored by Shelley & Son Books. You can find Shelley & Son Books online at shelleyandsonbooks.com. They specialize in rare books by Lewis Tolkien and the Inklings and Friends. You can order by their website, phone, or email. They accept a variety of payments. You can also browse and search their catalog online. Again, find them online at shelleyandsonbooks.com. Finally, my book, C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, A Companion and Study Guide to the Screwtape Letters, is now available online at Amazon in paperback or for the Kindle. You can learn more about it by visiting screwtapecompanion.com. There you can get an immediate download of a free 20-page PDF sample of the book. Again, that's screwtapecompanion.com.